The allegedly scientific theory, which rejects the creation of living things and seeks to account for the origin of life in terms of blind chance, is Charles Darwin's theory of evolution. Darwin set out his theory in the book The Origin of Species, published in 1859. According to Darwin, all life comes from a common ancestor, and life forms evolved from one another by small, gradual changes. For instance, dinosaurs, which used their forearms to feed, gradually grew wings and took flight. Or bears, which hunted fish in the water, turned into whales over the course of time. Yet this claim was a violation of both reason and intellect, as well as science, and the theory, devoid as it was of any scientific evidence, clearly revealed the perversion of denying the existence of a creator. Darwin maintained that there was a constant struggle to the death in nature. According to his unscientific claims, food resources were insufficient, and there was a ruthless war going on in the arena known as Earth, one in which the strong and those able to adapt to natural conditions survived, and in which the weak and sickly species were eliminated. The concept of conflict, which can be seen in the subtitle to The Origin of Species, the preservation of the favored races in the struggle for life, was one of the foundation stones of the theory of evolution. According to Darwin, individuals which possessed advantages in this struggle for life would survive and multiply. These advantageous differences would thus combine and give rise to new features, new organs, and new species. The fact that this claim of Darwin's is a totally imaginary one would only later be revealed by means of advances in the field of science. On close inspection, this claim of Darwin's, in an evolutionary process that progressed from 1 to 5 stages, required that for a living species to survive, each individual stage had to give rise to a more advantageous physiological structure than the one preceding it. That meant that the theory of evolution rested entirely upon the assumption that living systems could be reduced to minute but advantageous steps. Useful features would be chosen by the mechanism Darwin referred to as natural selection, and non-useful ones would be eliminated and disappear. In this way, beneficial small changes accumulating over the course of time would in the long term lead to one species turning into another.
For Charles Darwin, natural selection explained the appearance of design without a designer. There was no longer any need to invoke an intelligent cause for the complexity of life. In effect, natural selection became a kind of designer substitute.
This claim, however, could never account for exceedingly complex organs and systems, which are incapable of developing by degrees, and which cannot be reduced to a simpler form. Irreducibly complex organs and systems that will cease to have any function in the absence of any one of their components deal a serious blow to the theory of evolution. That is because it is impossible to propose that an organ that will not function in the absence of even the smallest of its components evolved gradually through a series of minute changes. Charles Darwin was aware of this and wrote in his book, The Origin of Species, "If it could be demonstrated that any complex organ existed, which could not possibly have been formed by numerous successive slight modifications, my theory would absolutely break down. But I can find out no such case." It might have been regarded as normal in Darwin's own time for him to say, "He can find no such case," because in the second half of the 19th century, the world of science was at a rather primitive technological level compared to that of today. Under their primitive microscopes, life did indeed appear to have only a simple structure. At that time, when the cell was described as a simple little lump of carbon, Darwin was unaware of the meaning of the words genetics, electron microscope, or biochemistry. Yet scientific discoveries in the 20th century would lead the idea that life was simple being consigned to the waste bin of history. In 1931, the German scientist Ernst Ruska invented the electron microscope. It was seen that cells, hitherto considered to be little lumps of carbon, were actually extraordinarily complex life forms, capable of multiplying on their own and producing energy, and with special defensive systems to protect them from enemies. Darwin's unrealistic idea that the first cell came into existence by chance was thus totally invalidated. In 1955, James Watson and Francis Crick revealed, with the discovery of the structure of the DNA, that living things contained very special genetic information encoded in the nuclei of their cells, and that this data could not be changed by acquired characteristics. Advances in the field of fossil science also placed the theory of evolution in a worsening quandary with every passing day. There was not a trace of the intermediate forms alleged to link species to one another. According to the theory, it took millions of years for one species to evolve into another. That meant that from the physiological point of view, there should be thousands, even millions of intermediate forms between them. The number of fossils belonging to these should be numbered in the trillions, and the strata of the Earth should be full of such forms. However, despite decades of excavations, not a single intermediate form, of all the millions and even billions there should in theory be, has ever been encountered. Today, speculation continues with regard to just a few dozen fossils, and all of these have in any case been proven not to be intermediate forms, but rather particular and extinct specimens. Today, even the best-known evolutionist paleontologists honestly admit that they have no longer any hope that intermediate forms will ever be found. One of these, Stephen Jay Gould, says in one of his books, "As we survey the history of life, one feature stands out as most puzzling, the lack of clear order and progress through time among marine invertebrate faunas. We can tell tales of improvement for some groups, but in honest moments we must admit that the history of complex life is more a story of multifarious variation about a set of basic designs than a saga of accumulating excellence. The eyes of early trilobites, for example, have never been exceeded for complexity or acuity by later arthropods. Why do we fail to find this expected order?